And that was the wrong, I'm the wrong person to ask, because that is so complex, because I don't accept that premise at all. And I've studied Ruskin, and I think that he ended up not accepting his own premise either. You cannot see what's good. The visual is not the moral. The beautiful is not the moral. It's much, they're separate spheres, and I really don't think that that works. You can't, the good is not a unique universal. It's a complicated thing. It's transitional. Take a person who is living a rural, idyllic, seeming life. It looks good. It's so beautiful. They're in harmony with nature. Meanwhile, they aren't. You know, they don't have things that they need or opportunities. The greatest good is probably some way of having more possibilities in your life, I think. And I think trying to romanticize a certain time period or way things look that seem beautiful is locking it in again. And so what looks terrible, industrialization brought with it horrible things, but it, we're all living the consequences. We're in this building. We have electric lights. If it storms, if it's freezing, we have central air. Do we really want to, do any of us volunteer to have that more idyllic existence in the traditional style of harmony with nature? When it's cold, we're cold. I mean, at what point do we say this is industrial and that this is, you know, so what we have to do is learn to take where we are and find ways to improve all those bad components. But when you ask me, did I see what I liked? I don't like having huge complexes of apartment blocks. Yet when I visited people in those huge complexes of apartment blocks, I would hate to live like that. But when I visit them, they will tell me how much better that place is than where they came from, which to me was charming. It looked charming. Well, it was horrible. It didn't have running water, didn't have good facilities. I mean, what's good for some, you know, what is good? It's very complicated. So I know you want to wrap, I mean, we're going over and all, but I don't agree that you can tell by looking, and I think that you can't romanticize the past, that we are really in a different time. The way to live tradition isn't to, I mean, it is true, we've lost almost everyone's tradition. In a real sense, we live it in some peripheral way. Some parts of it remain. We practice it maybe in our homes, but as a culture, we don't have those type of traditions. And so to turn China into some sort of place where we want to stop that because it happened to us and it shouldn't happen anymore is really, again, creating this separation between East and West, and that's a real danger too. You know, I have a lot of trouble with it.
And I wonder if there's a way to reconcile some of the points of view here. You have a deep concern about tradition, Chinese tradition in this case, but maintaining the values of tradition, which are time-tested, have supported the culture for so long. You and others have a great interest, and also you, Chris Moreno, have an interest in modernity and postmodernity and, you know, adapting to the changing world and creating a culture that's creative and that works in the world that we live in, like that. And Maharishi, by the way, shared both these concerns. He was deeply concerned about tradition and cultural tradition because he felt it upheld the integrity of the culture and the growth of the individual to higher states of consciousness. At the same time, he was a very modern person who wanted to use all the modern conveniences and telecommunication and all of that, and integrate the two, have both come together. And you were asking, someone was asking, well, what is the solution? Is there a solution to, you know, maintaining the tradition in the midst of the contemporary world? Maharishi pointed towards a possible solution, which Jim hinted at, and which some of the great thinkers you mentioned have hinted at, that is returning to the root. That is the source of the tree and the source of the fruit on the tree, returning to the root. And, you know, like the Taoists, Maharishi was very fond of Taoism. People would read the Tao to him and he would say, is like the Vedas, and this is like Vedic wisdom. And returning to the root for him meant returning to the self, the universal self, the unbounded self, pure awareness, which we do in TM. But on the level of the culture, that the culture has a collective consciousness, all the individual consciousnesses all together. And there's a way for the culture to return to the root. And the method that he proposed was having, well, first he proposed having a certain percentage of the culture, you know, transcendent, a small percentage, like 1%. But then as the science of his technology advanced, he proposed having large, having groups of people practicing advanced techniques together, like we have in the domes here, to enliven the root of the whole culture. That was his approach. And then from that would come an integration of the deep natural laws of tradition and also with the needs of the time, like that. So that was his proposal. But thank you very much for coming and staying. I just want to make one announcement. I want to thank the special speaker.